Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Olive Mitra. Today's episode is about evaluating a specialized airway diagnostic tool to see if it can replace standard clinical tools for early detection of pulmonary fibrosis. When you think about it, clinical diagnostic tools are pretty impressive. They have to be efficient, collect useful data, and ideally detect early warning signs of serious illness. Some tools become part of standard clinical procedures, while others provide more specialized diagnosis once an issue has been identified. Sometimes, though, these specialized techniques might be more useful than we thought. This is especially true if a technique has the potential to be an effective early detection tool for a complex condition. Take Hermansky-Pudlick syndrome, or HPS, for example. HPS is a rare hereditary condition characterized by genetic mutations impacting lysosome-related organelles, or LRO. One of the deadliest manifestations of HPS is the development of scarring in the lung tissue called pulmonary fibrosis. Early detection can significantly improve a patient's quality of life, but many of the early warning signs don't present themselves to the standard clinical technique. Are there other, more specialized tools that might help here? In today's episode, we'll look at research that evaluates a specialized clinical tool called the forced oscillation technique, or FOT, as a promising early detection tool for pulmonary fibrosis. We'll explore pulmonary fibrosis in HPS, how it is clinically diagnosed, and why the current methods need an overhaul. Then we'll see how the authors evaluated the forced oscillation technique in patients with HPS to see if it can improve clinical accuracy for everyone at risk for pulmonary fibrosis. To fully understand what these early detection tools are looking for, let's get acquainted with pulmonary fibrosis. Normal lung tissue is spongy and elastic, meant to fill up with air, release it, and then repeat this process ad infinitum. Pulmonary fibrosis decreases lung elasticity, making the tissue stiff and increasingly rigid, which makes respiration more challenging. As fibrosis progresses, lung failure becomes unavoidable, leaving a lung transplant as the only option for severe cases. Due to the high risk associated with transplantation, finding a compatible donor, and the scarcity of facilities to perform the procedure, transplants are not always a realistic option for most patients. Shouldn't our standard tools be able to detect early symptoms of fibrosis? In most cases, yes, but HPS is a bit trickier. The standard non-invasive clinical technique for assessing lung function is called spirometry, and regular spirometry readings over time can detect changes in breathing that could indicate fibrosis. Here's how it works. A patient breathes into a mouthpiece attached to a spirometer machine, which takes measurements of your breathing capacity and speed. As you exhale quickly, the spirometer observes how forcefully you exhale in 1 second, called force expiratory volume in 1 second, or FEV1. As you release all the air in your lungs, the spirometer measures your forced vital capacity, FVC, the total volume of air your lungs can hold. The ratio of FEV1 and FVC values are used to determine what kind of issue you might be facing, such as an airflow obstruction or a reduced capacity for air intake and reduced lung volume. Spirometry is not without its challenges, though. Patients have to perform multiple breathing maneuvers in sequence in order to get useful results, and they are difficult for young children, elderly folks, and of course, people with respiratory conditions. Spirometry has also had a hard time catching clinical manifestations of fibrosis in the peripheral airway. This is most likely where pulmonary fibrosis would start in people with HPS. In these cases, fibrosis is caused by issues with pneumocytes, a specific type of LRO in the alveoli. Spirometry results are also very dependent on how much effort the patient puts in. People with compromised airways simply won't be able to exert the same kind of effort as someone with a healthy airway, leading to skewed results. Given the challenges with using spirometry, HPS researchers have been exploring other techniques for early detection. Enter oscillometry, or more specifically, the forced oscillation technique. Oscillometry is much more sensitive to the smaller tissue structures of the alveoli and peripheral airway than spirometry, and doesn't require any specialized respiratory gymnastics to complete the test. Data is collected from a patient's normal breathing when their body is at rest. This makes the technique accessible for anyone, including those who cannot complete a spirometry test. But how can FOT get a reliable measurement of airway capacity if the patient is just breathing normally? Let's take a gander at how it works. The FOT sends low-frequency sound waves at 5 Hz, 11 Hz, and 19 Hz via loudspeaker or mouthpiece. 5 Hz is able to reach the small tissue of the peripheral airway, 11 Hz reaches the central airway, and 19 Hz zooms out to the lungs. Since all of the sound waves are in the low-frequency range, it feels like a gentle hum to the patient. The FOT measures impedance in the airway, or the obstruction air will face as it flows. The impedance is measured by looking at two facets, resistance, RRS, and reactance, XRS. Resistance represents the energy required to move air through the airway. Values increase in cases with obstruction such as pulmonary fibrosis. Reactance reflects the elasticity of the tissue. These values will drop in cases where tissue scarring is present, making the tissue stiffer and less spongy. The FOT is normally used on patients who have difficulty with spirometry. Recent studies, though, have been highlighting the FOT in the early diagnosis and management of other respiratory conditions such as asthma and COPD. Given its sensitivity to peripheral airways, could the FOT be a more effective early detection tool than spirometry in clinical use? Let's look at the study in today's paper to see for ourselves. The authors conducted a retrospective chart review of 5 patients with confirmed HPS and the results of their spirometry and FOT tests. The patients represented 5 stages of pulmonary fibrosis development, from negative, early, mild, and moderate to severe. Each patient was also scanned using high-resolution computed tomography, or HRCT, for visual confirmation of airway fibrosis. By looking at the data from both tests cross-referenced with the HRCT imaging data, the authors intended to demonstrate new clinical standards to bring the FOT into more regular practice. Did they succeed? Let's find out by taking a look at the results of each procedure: spirometry, the FOT, and HRCT. Spirometry results followed expected patterns for the patients in their corresponding stages of fibrosis development. FVC and FEV1 values were expressed as a percentage of normal airway function. The values for both reduced as the stages of fibrosis advanced, indicating reduced airway function and increased fibrosis. The interesting thing to note is FVC and FEV1 values for negative and early stage fibrosis didn't change much. While HRCT imaging did confirm the presence of fibrosis for the patient in the early stage, spirometry results did not reflect this. The FOT showed little change in resistance values in the negative and early stages, but did show a dramatic drop in value for reactance starting in the early stage of fibrosis. Remember, reactance, or XRS, is the measure of how elastic the airway tissue is. Lower values in XRS showing themselves at the early stage could indicate early scarring in alveolar tissue. Another thing to note with RRS and XRS values in the negative stage is that while both were within the normal range of values, they were very close to upper limits of normal in RRS and lower limits of normal values in XRS. These threshold values could serve as a baseline for early fibrosis detection. HRCT imaging shows a cross-section of tissue at extremely high resolution and is a great technique for detecting spatial locations of tissue fibrosis. Air-filled spaces show up as dark or black, while denser tissues like tumors or scarring show up as white or gray. The scans showed a progressive increase in scarring from the early stage to the severe stage, with more white areas in the later stages and significantly decreased black spaces. The results of this study provide indications that the FOT does in fact demonstrate early signs of fibrosis through impedance values, specifically XRS being the strongest indicator of early scarring. The FOT was able to detect scarring one stage prior to spirometry, indicating that the FOT might be useful for pulmonary fibrosis detection caused by other conditions as well. HRCT imaging also corroborated these findings, implying more imaging data of patients exhibiting early signs of pulmonary fibrosis could be very helpful in creating clinical standards. Did the researchers demonstrate that the FOT is more sensitive than spirometry? A conditional yes. Were the researchers successful in cementing a new clinical standard for using FOT for early detection of pulmonary fibrosis? No. They had a very small sample set, which can't provide conclusive evidence to support FOT clinical integration. But there are strong enough indications to warrant a much larger study. Testing a larger and wider pool of patients and the negative in early stages may begin to reveal some patterns regarding nascent fibrosis development. More FOT data can reveal useful benchmark values for airway impedance to detect tissue scarring that spirometry and HRCT imaging can't detect early enough. Further imaging data can also help to build a repository of information for clinicians to reference in monitoring fibrosis progression and also treatment efficacy. While not definitive, studies like this lay foundations just waiting for others to build upon. More robust analysis of FOT may yet place it into more routine clinical use, especially when paired with imaging and spirometry. Perhaps looking to replace one tool with another isn't the right strategy. Using general and specialized tools together in preventative care might detect early warning signs more effectively, leading to better health outcomes for patients. If you'd like to see the HRCT scans and the experimental data for yourself, download the paper and dive right on in. Today's episode of Journal Club was written and performed by me, Olive Mitra, with writing support from Malcolm Diggs. It was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow.